This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. I am Patrick Harris. That is Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go.
I got Schultzy on the ones and twos.
Merry Christmas. I'm already saying it. I'm already there.
That's all right. That's all right. It's good to see you guys. Feels like
Schultzy comes across as one of those guys that yells at people in the store.
No, Merry Christmas when they say Happy Holidays.
I always say Happy Holidays. I started saying it at work. Tables that I've enjoyed. I'm just like, hey, thanks for coming in. Have a great holiday. We'll see you later.
I just want to catch people off guard and just start saying Happy Kwanzaa to them just to see what reaction I get.
And they're hey, like, man, wait, what? I'm a staunch Futurama watcher, and Kwanzaa mm-hmm. Bot is, yes. one of my favorite characters of all time.
In my small hometown of apparently 50 people, I'll
Joe
tell them Happy Kwanzaa.
Joe is very salty. Because Joe took a shot at the drive. Jason Sukanik.
I took
where
a shot.
He lives.
I took a shot at the commute from Vancouver to Portland, which is unequivocally the worst in the city.
Agreed.
Which turned into you taking a shot into where he lives.
Because I mean,
which listen, is also where I live.
I love the people of Vancouver.
Really? Because I don't. Sure. I just like Vancouver.
I just don't like Vancouver. I drove to Hazeldale the other day. As soon as I got out of the car, it just smelled like poop up there.
Where were you?
I don't know. I don't know. All
where
I know
were
is
you
I was
in Hazeldale.
Again, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at. I just follow GPS and it takes me somewhere. I saw a Welcome to Hazeldale sign. I got out of the car and
I need more. Why were you in Vancouver, Joe?
I was doing something for a client, you know, being the good sales rep that I am. Taking
you can't
care
say the client's name.
No.
Because you signed an NDA.
No, I'm not doing that. Not put their name out there.
Not
but
expose them.
I was doing something for them and went out there. And then it made me wonder, wasn't there like a weird funk hanging around Vancouver for a few months? Like a weird stank or something like that?
Like a smell in the air?
Yeah. Wasn't there a story on that?
I live up on the hill in rich people neighborhood, so.
Oh, you lived above the stank.
You smell the fresh air.
The 27 degrees fresh air. Then I get to the I-5 bridge in the morning and it's 35.
Not just you, buddy. It was like 35 for like a high in Wilsonville yesterday. That was cold. Yeah. My toesies needed some extra time in the heater today.
But yeah, and then Jason Sukanik, because it's something that's not his.
Excuse me. The wonderful Jason Sukanik.
Yeah.
Vancouver resident. Legend hero
but,
Mountain View High School.
But Jason because someone had a different opinion of him and lives in a different town, he automatically had to take a dump on it and talk about how stupid it was.
Joe, you live like 100 miles away.
No, I don't. I do not live 100 miles away. I live in Newburgh. That is not 100 miles away.
To prove Jason's point right now, when this show is over and you drive home, how long is it going to take?
It would take me like 40 minutes.
Okay, it's going to take me 17.
Yeah, because there's no traffic.
I can't even have two cigarettes. That's how close it is.
There's no traffic.
Damn.
There's no traffic.
I can't even finish a beer in my car on the way home.
The good old days.
You can't drive from Portland to Vancouver in the middle, like in the beginning of the workday or at the end of the workday, and you crawl there.
But to your point, we don't have real jobs.
And that was argument to him. I was like, you don't work a real job. Like,
neither do you.
You have to just get
wasted on the Portland Spirit once a month.
It was the Crystal Dolphin.
Okay, cool.
Get your vessel right, sir.
I don't think you should.
This is my second. I'm Jason Swigard. This is my second job.
Your third, actually.
I got tons of jobs. Yeah, because I'm a parent.
Pilots, hops, then the fan.
In that order.
Yes.
Jeez. I don't know. Guys, don't get as mad at like the Vancouver peeps and the Portland peeps as maybe the people that set the city up. That's honestly what I think of. Every time I'm in that stupid HOV lane going up to Vancouver, it's, why don't we have more than three lanes? What are we doing? This is a major metropolitan area.
In here. The HOV lane by himself.
It's over!
No, I do not break that. But I did see, I was in Seattle on Monday, I saw a hell of a lot of people breaking the HOV rule up there.
Oh, on Sundays and Mondays, or I should just say Mondays. Mondays, I have to go back to Vancouver on the I-5. Shout out. I-5 North looks not very fun, so if you're there, honk your horn and say, what up?
Yeah.
I passed it a few minutes ago. It did not look great. It did not look great, but the HOV lane is full of single rider passengers.
Oh, I didn't see the sign, officer.
Maybe move to Oregon and live in Oregon, and you don't have to deal with that. And you don't have to deal with the Vancouver traffic. And
I used to live in North Portland, Joe, and I had to deal with it every day of my life.
I guess there is that little section with the
from 405 to I-5, it's traffic 24/7, bro.
Yeah,
it's a mess.
That is, again, a terrible drive. Any which way you mark it. And yeah, you could say it takes me 20 minutes to get home right now. But if you need to go from Vancouver to Portland or Portland to Vancouver, it honestly seems like it happens on times and days where it doesn't even need to be.
Oh, yep. Sunday from 4 to 6 is a nightmare.
Why?
Exactly. Why?
Doesn't make any sense.
Hell, where are people coming from?
But I'll tell you what, Joe. When I leave work on Mondays, I got a cold one. Couple heaters
in the cup holder,
and I'm listening to Prime Time, the number one show in the Portland market. Yeah, I love
it. And life is totally fine, man. You know, I get in the news and I get the hot five at five and I got a cold one next to me, a couple heaters and a bag of Funyuns, dude. I'm living the high life, man.
I also love,
by the time I get home, I'm ready to beat my kids, dude. It's great.
I love that. I would talk to someone about that. I love that also one of Jason Sukanik's arguments for why Vancouver is so much better than
I know
Newber
where you're going with this
is because it has a mall.
The Vancouver Mall.
To which I said, is it 1993? When do, like, malls matter, I guess, this time of year, but the other 11 months out of the year, like, aren't malls dying?
My favorite
plus,
thing.
Plus, I got the Woodburn Outlet Mall right down the.
That's a great mall.
So if we're going to.
It's an outdoor.
If we're going to hang dong here and whip out each other's mall prowess, I think I get the W with the Woodburn Outlet Mall.
You can find us on YouTube right now at 1080 AM The Fan, and I am just smiling.
I'm hot.
A lot. When I lived in Pullman, Washington, we used to get, you know how you get local commercials no matter where you live, right?
Yes.
And we used to get the local commercial for the mall in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay?
And
Moscow, my God.
Wonderful little town. I love that town. Shout out Vandals.
That was some mall.
What up? And they had a jingle. You know, because everything has a jingle. And it was the Palouse Mall is what it was called. And it was right when you came in to Moscow, Idaho, from Pullman, right there on the highway. And there was a giant Walmart. And then there was the Palouse Mall. And they had a commercial for it. And there was a jingle. And at the end, it would like show you clips of all the stores in there. And the jingle was, and we'll never forget it. It was small town atmosphere with big city choices. The Palouse Mall. Dun, 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 dun.
Yikes.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's very nostalgic. Yeah. I can see it on a small 19-inch TV right now.
Doesn't quite hit like Tom Peterson's Inglourious 2, but it's close.
We had a 36-inch TV that was built into one of those sets.
Oh, like the wood?
Yeah, that weighed 1,000 pounds.
With the knobs on it?
Yeah, and we drove by the Palouse Mall all the time to get to the Winco because we were broke.
Hey, look, it's Big City Choices, and we're going to Winco.
Small town atmosphere with big city choices.
And also,
the Palouse Mall.
There weren't that many big city choices
so
either.
So great, so great.
Also, to corroborate the Vancouver smelling like poo, that is something that as recently as October was being wrote about.
See, now that you say it, I feel like Rop and Suk talked about it in the news at one point.
Yeah, there was a stink.
Sounds familiar.
There was a smell just hovering over Vancouver.
See, I think you guys are just haters.
Yes.
I mean, I don't...
The largest suburb in the Portland metropolitan area.
I don't dislike...
The third largest city in the state of Washington, the greatest state in America. And you guys are just here to poo, 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 poo.
I don't dislike Vancouver.
Build the wall!
Getting to Vancouver sucks.
We have a wall. It's called the I-5 corridor.
Yeah,
I want to send... been on I-5 on a Friday night?
Mass deportation of all Washingtonians back to Vancouver and stay there.
And force them to deal with an interstate bridge lift on the way, please.
Yes, you are only allowed by kayak to come over to Oregon now.
You know, I've hit a couple of those lifts. It's been a while since I've had to deal with a bridge lift. And every time that bridge lift hits, I just say to myself, why didn't I get a 4-pack?
Why didn't I move to Oregon?
Why do I only have one beer and two heaters? And I got to piss like nobody's business right now.
Yeah. But whoever invents a way, because I'm sure there's like some sort of apparatus, but whoever invents a like legitimate way to pee in the car, they'll be a billionaire.
Dude, it's a Nalgene.
That's, yes, but...
But you got to have a pee Nalgene. It can't be your water Nalgene.
But you've got to...
But it's wide mouth, dude.
You got to get the big mouth.
Some of us need wide mouth.
I think all of us need wide mouths.
You'd be surprised.
You want to aim into a little tiny hole? I don't care how big you are. You want to aim into like a little half-inch hole? It's like shooting a hockey puck for like the car or whatever at one of the...
What if you can slide into that half-inch hole?
I guess that's
then you're not
the
worried
worst
about
thing
anything.
In the world.
Excuse me?
And then you get home and it's stuck and then you're in big trouble. Bridge lifts are the least of your problems right now.
And spit on that thing.
You're going to have to.
Then you need
to spit on your own thing.
You need to do some sort of biofuel thing where you go into this little compartment in your car and then it turns into gasoline somehow.
And
you're powering your car.
I have come full circle. I lived in North Portland for a decade. I love North Portland. She's my home. I find myself there frequently when I'm not at home. But to round this out, Joe, I'm with Suk on this, dude. I'm very happy to live in Vancouver.
Yeah, and you and your mall. Congratulations.
And your
six grocery stores, he says.
I'm so far from the mall. Hey, I got a TJ's in Salmon Creek now. What up?
What's a better name, Vantucky or the Couve?
The Couve.
Yeah, all right, that's what I thought.
Vantucky is for those kids in like Orchards and Battleground and like those yahoos.
When
you see people with cowboy hats, it's like, bro, you live in a city.
You from Longview, sir?
Nah, man, I'm from Orchards.
Got it.
Hit the six shooter downtown Vancouver.
Also, it's a better town apparently because it just has more people.
That was one of his arguments.
It has more people.
It has
that
more
makes
people.
A town worse to me. Give me less people to deal with. Please.
I actually agree with Joe on this one. Yeah.
And of all people to say that to, Jason Sukanik, who just by all means just loves people.
The most people friendly person in the history of this
exactly.
planet.
Says like, oh yeah, we have more people, therefore better.
For those of you that don't know, Joe lives in Newburgh. Oakley dokely.
I'll sit my Pinot and relax in the
pinky
the vineyards.
Up,
yes.
Looking down on the heathens that live in Vancouver,
yes,
Washington.
Exactly.
Oakley dokely. Well, we got a show for you today. We've been off a little bit. There's a lot to get to. And people always ask, you know, hey, you do the baseball show the entire year? Yeah, we got stuff to get to. There's a team that owes $1 billion and is this just crime on crime and what the future of that looks like. A high leverage free agent pitcher is signed. Those are connected. So there's a lot to get to. Plus, the cream of the crop, Juan Soto, will fill you in on what's going on for that. If we have enough time, plus we can hit a little bit of, a team that is garbage, that is signing a ton of players, and we'll see what that might look like. And can Rob Manfred actually have worse ideas? There is a lot of that to get to you. Plus we need to introduce to you the next superstar. From Japan.
Another one, huh?
We don't even know if they are a superstar. So there is a ton to get to. When we come back, we'll start off with $1 billion. How does this shape the future of the game? Is this okay? Is this embarrassment of riches? Is this something needs to be stepped in? We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the post.
.720 Portland Sports Leader here. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show.
Now, that is probably the best part about Vancouver is Vancouver Ford. I will give a tip of the hat to that. That is a quality dealership there.
I got one in the lot right now. I got one in the parking lot right now. I love it to death. I was actually hanging out with some friends before I came here, and about 10 minutes before I left, I pulled up the old app and started up my car to get it warm. And that is because I have the wonderful people of Vancouver Ford.
How about that?
How about
the stink
that?
Actually goes right around it.
Yeah, it's like there's like a wall.
Yeah.
They built a wall, kind of like the one that we're going to build around Canada.
I thought that we were going to build around Vancouver.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will get
through the river.
We will get into who the hell is this guy? Plus, we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the hour, so stick around for that. But let's kind of get into this, Joe. We got a team right now that is hemorrhaging everything they can to win as many World Series or newspaper headlines as they can without thinking about their future self. So the question is future Dodger going to be really mad at current Dodger? Like, there are times when I'll go out to the bar. There are times when I'll be at home and I decide I'm going to have a few more pops and stay up and watch some bad TV. And it's like 10 and I need to go to bed. But you know what? It's 12:30. That's a problem for future Patrick. this current Patrick is having a blast. Is future Dodger going to be really, really upset with current Dodger?
Well, when they have four or five World Series championships within a 4 or 5 year span, I don't think they're... You mean Dodger player or Dodger fan?
Dodger fan slash ownership.
No and no. I think they'll be perfectly okay with paying this tab down the road when it actually bears the fruit of multiple World Series championships. We could actually be looking at that potential now where, what is it? We haven't had a repeat champion or really like a franchise or not a franchise, a dynasty in the MLB since the late 90s Yankees. We could be looking at that.
But I guess,
and again, the fans and ownership will not care when they're cashing those checks up until 2043 or whatever it is.
I guess the real question is as I'm looking at the sheet right now, Shohei, his deferred money kicks in 2034. Will Smith is 34. Freeman is 28. I think Blake Snell got announced today. I'd have
2035 to 2046.
Okay. Mookie is 33.
Tommy Edman, who also got a new deal with the Dodgers over the last week or so, his amount goes through 2044.
Yeah, so I'm curious, when you get to 2034 and you're all of a sudden paying a bunch of guys that probably don't play for you anymore, do you think that the money won off of endorsements, sponsorships, World Series titles, assuming they get those? That's a tough assumption. Because even in baseball, you can be loaded and still lose. Do you think that from a finance, like if you're an accountant, from a financial situation, can you look at that and say, yeah, in 2034, I owe Shohei $680 million over the next 9 years, and I can still sign high-priced free agents?
There's one part of me that looks at it in 10 years, in 15 years, in 2040. Like, what is $1 billion going to be like then? You know, as much
as... You're talking inflation.
Yes. Like, and I know that's, you know...
So this is a deal.
I mean, when we look at it, I mean, $1 billion right now, yes, that is a lot. It's always going to be a lot of money. But again, when you are, when the dollar keeps going up and inflation is going up, like, again, like...
Money today is always worth more than money tomorrow, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so when you look at this deferred money, like in 2040, when they still have however many of these payments left to go... It's like, are they really going to be stressing about it then? Right now, you're like, oh my God, that's a lot of money over the next, well, 20 years.
I guess my big question is that, yeah, when you get to 10 years from now and this deferred money gets on the books, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute if this is good or bad for baseball. We'll get to that in a minute. So try to keep that out of your brain when I ask this question. But in 2035, while you're paying Shohei $60 million a year, $70 million a year, and Will Smith another 10, and, you know, Freeman another 8, or and however it piles up to be $1 billion over that 10-year span from 35 to 45, can you still afford to sign free agents?
Yes, because, I mean, as we've seen, that there isn't obviously a salary cap in baseball, but I think that the Dodgers will never have a problem signing free agents. And unless the MLB does something about this and actually steps in and wants to make a change to how deferred payments are,
right,
like how it's done, because right now the Dodgers are clearly, I don't know if abusing is the right word, taking advantage of the rules that are in front of them and just doing like, hey, literally every other team could do this if they wanted to. Teams have done this in smaller instances. We're just working this with every single player that we sign.
And in a classic statement, I said to not bring that up, and you brought that up.
Oh.
Well, what about other players getting it in the past?
Well, I guess what I'm curious about, sorry, Joe, I'm just giving you grief. I guess what I'm curious about is all of these guys you now have on the books for essentially the next 10 years, okay? I know they're not all going to be here in 10 years, but I wonder, is this something, if you were a franchise like, say, the Kansas City Royals, okay, you got Bobby Witt, and that's your cornerstone, and you start looking at maybe you go sign a Snell or a Corbin Burns and you start doing this, but they don't have the same kind of capital as, say, the Dodgers do. Is it worth having a 6-year dominant period knowing that you're going to be cash strapped for 15 years after that?
I think the Dodgers, where they're at in their franchise history after going through, what has it been now, 10 years of being one of the premier franchises as far as wins.
I mean, outside of COVID, it's 88. That's the last World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of COVID.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just talking about, like, when they, I don't know, 2011, 12. Like, when did they really start taking a hold of the NL West and seemingly winning it every year?
Sure, Kershaw at his peak.
Yeah, being a top team in the National League. Like, when did that start happening? Well, for the last 11, 12 years or so, they've been chasing that World Series.
And they've got two.
One. To show for
one starred.
Yeah. And to me, this is them saying, like, all right, now that we have Shohei, now that we have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, let's just invest in this more and more, and let's make up for missed opportunities over the last 10, 15 years and win the next 3, 4, 5, as many as we can. And at that point, yeah, we can make it's a lot easier to pay this.
So the ball rolls.
Yeah, and it's like,
I mean, there's rumors out there that the Dodgers have made $100 million off Shohei this year.
I don't even think that's a rumor. I think you can see, I mean, obviously their books aren't public, but you can see how many people are going to the stadium, how many sellouts that they had.
Jerseys,
bobbleheads. Yeah, you just look at their attendance, and I think that came close to it. But also, it's worth pointing out here that the Dodgers are getting the really good kind of deferred contracts. This isn't like a Bobby Bonilla taking advantage of the Mets with like 8% deferred interest, and that's why, you know, these are going to be like a big amount of money, that's going to be paid to these players every year. Essentially, Shohei and Tommy Edman and all these guys that they're probably going to do it with in the future are giving the Dodgers an interest-free loan. And Joe's point, really, really good, saying money today is worth more than money tomorrow. Essentially, the Dodgers are creating more money to spend, and the fans that have been putting up with what? First place finishes? Oh, so, so sad that they didn't win the World Series that
Kershaw
year.
Kershaw getting lit in the playoffs.
Exactly, but have been putting up with first place finishes in the NL West, like division championship after division championship, and now two World Series in the last 5 seasons.
A la Braves of the 90s.
I think their fans know, and I think I could point to a lot of Braves fans that I know now that understand that at some point the bill will come due. And you can sign players to a point, and there will probably be a decade in the future of total futility for the Dodgers. But what if it's after 7 World Series in 10 years? What if it's after 7 World Series in 12 years? I don't think you can ask much more from your favorite team, right?
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees were super mad that the 80s were really trash because the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they dominated.
Well, and again, 2013 to 2023, the Dodgers won the division 10 out of 11 times.
And the 11th time is the Giants by game, and right, they beat them in the playoffs.
Right.
They've been there.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm so fascinated by the long-term effect of that. But let's shift gears and let's move over to kind of what Joe was talking about. I'm curious about the short-term repercussions of that. Does baseball step in? Do other teams start doing this? Is this the death of small market teams, or is this something that can build up small market teams? That's kind of what I'm curious about. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to introduce you to Sassy, as I am aforementionedly calling him. Plus, we'll do fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. The Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. From P1 Otter, he's already got his World Series prediction. He's just going Padres.
I was texting him back. I was like, I'd love it if the Padres won. Just throw it right back in the deferred faces of the Dodgers.
Especially tune in to the 8 o'clock hour where we talk about Sassy and see if Sassy could be a part of the Padres' future.
Who? Is this like a stripper or something like that?
Sassy to the stage. Kind of the conversation you were talking about, Joe, and Schultzy, you as well. Fellas, value is only going up, and deferred money is valued lower than the current value. Winning increases your worth. And That's a huge point. It came out, I swear I saw it on here. I don't know how it disappeared. Oh, it's on YouTube. On YouTube, the comment was, in 2035, a two-bedroom home in L.A. is going to be about $41 million. So, yeah, not a great deal. And that's the truth. Like, yeah, your money is backloaded. I think the idea is, you know, Max Scherzer has done this with the Nationals. They're going to pay him till I think 2032 or something like that. Dude. His big deal when he signed for the Nationals, he deferred that money. And a lot of that was more looked at as I'm trying to set myself up for life after baseball. It's kind of like we see NFL, NBA players who get a ton of money and then they're broke once they're out of the league. So I love that concept of, yeah, instead of taking 25 mil a year, I will take 20 mil a year. And then when I'm retired, get like a $3 million a year paycheck. Because not all these guys are going to be on TV. I'm not going to look up a TV and see Max Scherzer in commercials like I see Tom Brady in commercials.
Well, one that's close to home for me is Chris Davis of the Orioles. His big contract he got with them, 42 of it was deferred. $42 million it was deferred. And starting in 2026, he's going to get $3.5 million per year for a seven-year period.
Right, which isn't that much. We're used to it with Bonilla. Bad.
And then in 2033, he'll receive $1.4 million yearly until 2037.
Yeah, and that's not bad. You're like, okay, so Chris Davis.
Oh, trust me. It's going to be bad every year that I have to be reminded of it after what happened once he got that contract.
But this is a whole new thing. This is money deferred like you're still playing. So the question, let's just jump right into it. The question is this good for baseball? Is this bad for baseball?
There's part of me that doesn't like it because but also I'm just looking at it. I'm like, dude, if the Dodgers can do it, literally any other team could do it. And they are just willing to pay out the ass for these players and just say, we'll take care of it later. I mean, the other thing, too, is ownership. It's like, okay, cool. We can keep that money, invest it in something else, grow that money, and then be able to pay it down the road as well.
Yep. That's one of my big things, too. It's like, I actually think this model would, and which is why, you know, I'll start this convo now, which is why I don't think baseball will do anything about it. First of all, they don't do anything about anything. That's important. But secondly, this is actually something that I think would benefit small market teams. You know, if you're Tampa, if you're Cleveland, Milwaukee, and you want to take a shot at Soto, I mean, maybe not Soto, maybe Soto's a bad, but
maybe Pete Alonso.
Maybe a guy like Pete Alonso or a Cody Bellinger from the last few years or a Corey Seager, somebody like that, where you can say, look, I will give you your A-Rod deal, but I just can't give it to you all now. I think it's something that would benefit the small market teams, but we're seeing the big teams, like the Soto thing, that's going to be just as egregious as Ohtani.
Well, this is, again, it's a somewhat simplified version of the argument, but what kills me is like, oh, small market teams, they can't afford it. They have owners that are worth billions of dollars. They can afford it. It's just some owners are cheaper than others and don't want to invest in their franchise and players. I mean, the Pirates are notorious for this. They are always trying to find ways to get rid of players and not send them to big contracts.
The Dodgers' payroll versus their revenue is really close to each other.
Oh, you mean like what they spend versus revenue on their payroll? Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Rays were at the bottom of that list.
Yep, Mariners are way down there, too.
They had $100 million in what they spent, and they brought in $300 million.
I believe the Mets are at the very top of that list.
Mets are at the very top. You're right. It is the Mets. I saw that today. So I would think this is something that would benefit small market teams, especially if, like, I know I'm biased. I know I'm wearing the hat right now if you're watching on YouTube. I know I'm wearing the hat. I'm a Guardians kid. I know that. But I would feel like this is something that's like, okay, right now, we got something kind of building here. We were in ALCS. Most of our guys are locked up. If we need a Pete Alonso, can we not say we defer some of his money down the road? I think the problem is that the Dodgers are able to defer massive amounts of money. And that's what might force the union, not the union, but the owners and the commissioner to step in and say, that's not fair. It's one thing to defer $35 million for Max Scherzer over the next 10 years. It's another thing to do $680 over the next 10 years.
The whole contract, basically.
The whole thing.
I mean, the best way to fix that then, essentially, and just to address that point quickly, is a salary cap. And I'm not sure MLB's ever going to do that.
I want a salary floor.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something that'll force these small market teams to actually spend. Yes,
I want
please.
Both.
No. It's true. They're the only league in North American sports without a salary cap, right? You can see Yankees and Dodgers spending enormous amounts of money with literally no limit.
But the reason they get away with that, sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
The reason they get away with that is the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Mets don't win the World Series every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they get away with it. If this is, you know, if this is Real Madrid, who spends more money than anybody in Europe on their players, they win Champions Leagues every year.
But the way that you're putting it does present an opportunity here for these teams, because to bring up the Bobby Bonilla deal with the New York Mets again, so they gave Bobby Bonilla 8% interest on that because they thought at the time they were going to make a bunch of money on the Bernie Madoff investments that they had, you know, partnered with him and essentially given, I think, 75% of their team's coffers to invest into that Ponzi scheme. It ended up obviously not working, and there's that, you know, there's people still trying to make amends and make their money back from that. But assets is the key here. All these teams have assets in these players, right? And if you can make money on an asset while you have that asset and then continually kind of push off the payment later on,
it's almost like you put some of that money aside
exactly.
to pay for them later.
It affects you in no way, shape, or form.
Like Jose Ramirez isn't in Subway commercials, but Otani's in New Balance commercials.
I mean, I'm not this financial guru, but if anything, it's like these teams essentially are going to be getting a payout from these assets because they are giving you such a gigantic return. So it's very smart. It's smart for these big market teams to do it, but a small market team, oh my goodness, could really take advantage. It's like, go buy a car that only appreciates. That's essentially what these teams could do and then make their money back, and it's cost-free for them over a 15-year period.
Jared Weaver actually jumped on Twitter the other day to chime in about this, and he says that the Dodgers are taking advantage of this because they can tell the players, like, listen, we're going to defer a bunch of this money, and then once you're done with us, literally move out of the state, and you won't get that state income in California.
That's huge. And
you'll be able to keep a lot more of that money.
Oh, yeah, Cali's pissed.
If that's not in the stack of S to do on Gavin Newsom's desk, I would be shocked. He is definitely looking at that. I would like a chunk of that $680 that Shohei is going to be owed and live in my state.
Oh, I think
that's going to come to a fruition.
Representatives from the state government have already said
like
Shohei.
Blake Snell's signing bonus because he lives in Washington and there's no state income tax. That S is going to change real quick.
Ohtani has already been accused of stealing taxpayer money, like essentially by doing what he's doing.
I don't know. This whole thing is really crazy. And the fortunate slash unfortunate, I don't think there's really any way, because if I'm being honest with both of you, I don't really have an opinion on it quite yet. What's going to be interesting is how this plays out. I think Soto will be a big domino that falls, because it sounds like Soto will be the first free agent signed outside of Blake Snell, I guess, of the big ones. And I think what Soto's contract is going to reflect what Pete Alonso's contract is, what any future big-time hitter that's going to sign with – hitter or pitcher that's going to sign with somebody. It's going to reflect how the rest of the league reacts. And I think that's the big thing, is how does the rest of the league react? We can see what the Dodgers are doing, but how does everyone else either catch up, or do their guys say, this is a bad idea?
Yeah, that's why I think that I can't be too mad at the Dodgers, because they're like,
I think
if a team complains to the MLB, they could be like, well, what about that contract that you deferred? And this team over here that's complaining, what about that? You do it.
I think you're right, Joe.
And I think the Dodgers are like, yeah, we're just doing it to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. We're taking advantage of it as much as possible.
Well, players don't have to say yes either. I mean, Ohtani,
that's true.
He's already got enough money, so $2 million. Just think about it. He's like, I can live on $2, $3 million a
year. Paul Pierce ain't deferring no money.
No.
I'm just telling you that.
Antoine Walker would have deferred zero.
$0. That's a good point. All right, when we come back, let's get into some actual baseball. I hate that we're going to stick with the Dodgers, but they signed a high-priced free agent. more deferred money. What does this look like for the rest of the league? And is it over? The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into Roky Sass. Let you understand who the hell that is. As I'd like to continue that little trend of Asian players coming over to America, because it's hard, you know, like the time difference, we don't get to watch them. So stick around for that. I did not mean for this to be an hour on the Dodgers.
Nice burp.
I truly didn't. But I did. But it's just kind of where it is. It's just kind of where we are. It's the reality of the situation. Blake Snell surprisingly signs a massive contract with the Dodgers right out the gates, pretty much as free agency started. And he's going to be there. Sure, there's a bunch of deferred money, et cetera, et cetera.
Right in the middle of our show that would have been last week.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Literally happened at like 8 p.m. last week on Tuesday.
You know, what I find interesting is I think from a baseball standpoint, I think what fascinates me about this is that the Dodgers chose Blake Snell. They chose him over Corbin Burns. They chose him over Max Fried. There's no way they go get either one of those guys, too.
Well, it depends on how much they want to defer.
They've already got a six-man rotation. Are you not a little surprised that it's Blake Snell to the Dodgers and not a Corbin Burns, not a Max Fried? Because I thought we all thought it was going to be Max Fried. He's a California kid. He's going home. I want to play for the Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. I was surprised it was Blake Snell.
It caught me off guard a little bit, just considering he'd play. I mean, hell, he might check off the whole NL West by the time he's done with his career.
I don't know. I don't know if he's got Colorado Rockies in his brain.
Well, I remember sitting in this studio a few months ago, maybe a month ago, when we were talking about the possible Dodgers-Soto signing, and if that could happen, I was like, they'd be better served to spend that money on a starting pitcher.
Without a doubt. And we saw that in the World Series. If it wasn't for Roberts... I can't believe I'm going to say this. If it wasn't for Roberts' genius use of the bullpen...
growth. It's a good thing, Pat.
They would have lost that. And that's the first thing we would have said is, you need a starter. Glasnow's hurt. Nobody knows about Yoshi. You're going to lose Flaherty. You're going to lose Bueller. Kershaw's old. You need a starter. But they won a World Series.
Yeah, I just I think that the money was better well spent on a starter. Now, it being Blake Snell, that did catch me off guard a little bit. And also, with the way that free agency works in the MLB, like, I don't think anything was going to be happening this soon.
Right. I think we were all waiting for Soto.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's probably the case.
Even though they're pitchers, we were all just waiting to see what the market value was.
But it's also very, like, spaced out, too. So I guess, like, I don't know if we expect things more now after what happened last season, like, closer to pitchers, catchers reporting things to start brewing up after the new year. But yeah, I'd say it definitely caught me off guard. Them spending on a pitcher. And Blake Snell, like of the three that you mentioned, him, Burns, Fried, I would think that they would look at those other two. But also, it's like Snell has a Cy Young. He is a proven commodity at this point. And Corbin Burns, he is lights out as well. But I think that what they were trying to do as far as money as well, what you could pay all these guys, that Snell was going to be more affordable than Burns. Probably around the same for Max Fried. I think they'll probably get the same amount, is my guess. I mean, what was the Snell total money? Like 212, 215?
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, it caught me off guard, but Dodgers needed another starting arm like this because they're going to have four arms that fall off during the season next year. So,
I agree. And I think one of the biggest things, I actually think the Dodgers might have got him at a little bit of a discount. And I'll say it because of this. You got to remember, Blake Snell has two Cy Youngs, one in each league, which we've got, what? Pedro Martinez has that. And that's where my brain leaves off. Usually I kind of like to be the brain historian.
I apologize. 5 year, 182 for Blake Snell.
There's only a couple people. Oh, Roger Clemens is one of them. There's only a couple people that have won Cy Youngs in both leagues. And Blake Snell's one of them. Let's not forget that World Series. That was the conversation of that entire World Series was, did Kevin Cash screw up by pulling Blake Snell? Or was Blake Snell overrated because he can't win a big game? And the guy's got two Cy Youngs and could have won one this year. The reason he didn't win one this year is because he waited till past spring training to sign with the Giants. And his beginning of the season was garbage.
Yeah, it was not great.
Which makes me think the Dodgers got him on a discount because they said, hey, man, we want you. Do you want to sign right now and not do that again? And I think there was probably a lot of Blake Snell that said, yes, I don't want to do that. Because you can't tell me that Blake Snell's not looking at what's going on in Arizona with Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery was the same guy. World Series hero. World Series hero.
Now the owner hates him.
Can't get signed by anybody. He gets signed super late in Arizona and has a disaster season. And now they're trying to, they're literally telling people, will you just take his contract? We don't even like this guy. And I wouldn't be shocked if Snell said, I don't want to do that again. This is less money than what the Yankees or the Mets might pay me, but the Dodgers are offering me a contract right now. Done. I'll take it.
I'd believe it. I think that is a... And I'm sure Scott Boris was probably down with that too.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that again either.
He's like, I'm busy with Soto over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't worry, I'll make up the money somewhere else. Yeah, I'd believe that 100% if that was the case. Snell, 32 though. I mean, definitely in the prime of his career, plenty of good years in front of him. I really am just shocked that the Dodgers got an arm this good.
This fast.
Yeah. Like, it was very, it was like, whoa. Like, not even, like, there wasn't even a, did you hear anything about this? Like, did you see any articles, any podcasts, any reporters saying, like, oh, Dodgers have interest in Snell?
No.
Like, I knew that they would need to go after starting pitching, but to go.
I thought he was going to go back to San Diego.
To go after someone of this quality and to be like, yeah, 182, let's do it. We'll defer it. Bam, bam, bam. Let's get it done. All right, cool. Dodger blue. Ready to go. It caught me off guard 100%.
There's a chance we'll end on this right now. This is what the Dodgers starting rotation looks like right now. Snell, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Otani, Kershaw, Derek May, Tony Gonsolin, and Bobby Miller. Now, Miller had a real rough stretch last year.
Did you say Walker Buehler?
I did not, because he is not signed on the team.
Well, he will
or
be.
Jack Flaherty.
Well, he will be with 95% of that deferred until 2055.
But do you need Walker Buehler right now?
No, but why the hell not?
I think the Dodgers are going to throw a six-man rotation next year, which is why, side note, if you're fantasy, don't draft Dodger pitchers.
Why the hell not?
They're only going to throw every six games.
Why not bring Walker Buehler back?
Because I think you want to spend that money on Teoscar Hernandez or the trade, and you're going to have to pay a lot of Nolan Arenado at third. You know, like,
let's just go through the top 10 free agents and see how they fit.
I think
roster.
That's why, because you're like, okay, I could use that money at Arenado at third and some bullpen help.
Let's throw Anthony Santander in there. Pete Alonso, why don't you come on down to LA as well?
Pete's like, I know I'm not going to play ever because Freddie Freeman starts, but yeah, I'll defer some money.
Now I'm trying to think of like the Dodgers, like depth chart and what position like they're weakest at. And it's like, all right, what's the top free agent in that position?
Well, it was kind of shortstop, and now they have Tommy Edman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Second base is rough. But they've got Gavin Lux.
It's going to be Mookie at second this year.
And probably Mookie at second, and they'll get a right fielder. It's probably third base, and it's going to be Nolan Arenado.
It's going to be Juan Soto in right field, guys. It's going to be Juan Soto. I said it 3 months ago.
All right, we come back. Loaded second hour. I'd like to introduce to you, who the hell is this guy? I've already got a nickname for him. I'm ready to go, and he's the talk of the town. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader. Today, the fan.
Now, you kissing Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, sh**. They're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that The Fan podcast at 10ofthefan.com, wherever you get your podcasts, the Odyssey app. Fair or Foul coming up in about, what am I looking at? Ooh, we're way over. About 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. But it's time to play the game here of who the hell is this guy? And that, my friends, is the newly posted Japanese superstar.
We think
Roki Sasaki.
Ooh.
Who I've already coined the phrase Roki Sass.
I like that.
Okay.
I like Roki Sass. Well, he's a little bit of a flamboyant kid. A little bit of a, he's got some edge to him.
I do not know a single thing other than I've been seeing articles in passing about this guy.
Roki Sass, he's got some swagger to him. He throws three pitches, four-seam fastball, a splitter, and a slider. He started the World Baseball Classic semifinal against Mexico. And his first 10 pitches were all fastballs and all registered over 100 miles an hour.
And they gave him the old Dennis Quaid.
I have seen a side-by-side of Roki and Shohei, and Roki looks better. Roki looks better.
So he's hotter, is what you're saying?
No, I am not. I'm an equal opportunity employer. I find all of these men very sexy.
I mean, Shohei's already married.
Mostly so. Because of their wallets. He's 6'2", 187 pounds. He's a right-hander. And they say he is probably the hardest thrower Japan has ever seen. 102.5 on the gun.
Jeez, that's Aroldis Chapman who just signed today. God. Like starting pitcher, right? Like
starting
not just
pitcher.
Relief.
Not
like
a reliever.
This is 103. Oh my God, for six innings? Are you kidding me?
He had an average fastball velocity of 98.4 in the 2022 season. Only Hunter Green would have averaged more than that. I got this stat right here. His fastball first put him on the map as a 17-year-old high schooler when he broke the Japanese high school record with a fastball recorded at 163 kilometers per hour. That's 101. That's just his fastball.
How's his control, though, Bob?
This article on MLB.com says his splitter can be as devastating as Ohtani's or Kodai Senga's ghost fork. It's probably his best pitch.
But only compare it to other Japanese players.
Because well,
just like
got.
Comparing white wide receivers to only other white wide
receivers. Yeah, Julian Edelman versus Jordy Nelson.
Lad McConkey really reminds me of a Wes Welker.
Oh, really? Shocking there. Yeah.
Let's see. His slider and his splitter are both 90.
Damn.
Remember
when only Randy Johnson could do that? Now it's like every top pitcher in baseball.
He has been compared to Ohtani as a pitcher ever since high school and has always been claimed as the better pitcher.
Sorry, I keep going back.
You keep saying that, and now I'm like, man, all my stuff here about Roky Sass like, just means nothing. Because,
like, can we not find one like Dominican pitcher to compare him to?
Oh, he throws as fast as Randy Johnson.
Yeah,
you see Framber Valdez. I like Roky Sasaki.
Randy's white.
We haven't seen anything like this in Japan since Hideo Nomo.
God, Hideo Nomo looks actually pretty bad compared to these latest Japanese
I think the pitchers. Reality, friends, is that Roky might be some real deal.
Yeah, those are some insane numbers. I mean, that is just when you are able to throw flames like that is again, I joke, but you know, it will be important once he gets the majors is what is your control like? How close is everything to the zone? Are you all over the place if you're catcher and your coach are asking for an inside low, are you able to deliver that speed and put it in the spot where they want you to? My guess is he probably can. Is that if you are throwing that fast and have that type of velocity that you are able to have some control on it. What intrigues me is to see the other stuff, the sinker, the slider, see what that is like, because that's the stuff that is, that is literally the stuff. That is the thing that's going to totally throw pitchers off is that they're expecting that fastball and then they get that late movement and it's a little bit slower, albeit only 90 miles per hour on those. But that's what I'll be intrigued to see is, a late slide, like just making dudes look foolish, that breaking stuff, that is so fun to watch.
His first full season in the NPB, he had a 2.02 ERA.
It's pretty good.
And 173 strikeouts in 129 innings. So that might be the real question. How many innings this kid got in him? We don't see a lot of pitchers with 200 innings these days.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the way that modern baseball, you have guys that, a full season for them is now sub 200.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going 170, 180, 190. And especially...
And that's like the Cy Young winner went 180.
Well, and again, we've seen a lot of different changes in the approach of starting pitching over the last decade now where guys are like, all right, you gave us five innings scoreless. Yeah.
Yeah, no. They don't want the lineup seeing him a third time, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, this is what we were talking about with Luis Gil, though, with his rookie year. It was like he was really great to start, and then he kind of fell off because he hasn't pitched this many innings in a season before. Yeah. So that'll be intriguing to see is whoever he signs with, and that's, right now it's the leader. It says San Francisco Giants are predicted to sign him. That's according to the up-to-date, current, totally relevant Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I thought you were going to say John Heyman.
God, don't even... Just please stop.
The talk for Roky Sass is Giants, Dodgers, Padres. The interesting thing is obviously he admires Shohei, who is the best player in the world.
They'll go to LA then.
But his mentor and his hero and his role model is Yu Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
So
going to San Diego might be.
I feel like San Diego might have the inside track on him. That you is kind of talking to him like, hey, man, you got to do what's best for you. You come here and I'll take care of you, but you got to do what's best for you. To where the Shohei angle is kind of like, hey, come hang out with the cool kids. And it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to hang out with the cool kids or be elite?
I would love to see him go to the Padres. I really want to see this Padres-Dodgers war.
Just get nuts.
Yes.
Just I would get love absolutely to see insane.
Yeah. And then I would love to see the
and
Padres.
And then the Giants sign Vladdy Jr. And you're like, whoa!
And they somehow have a 107-win season out of nowhere. And then the Rockies are the Colorado Rockies.
Colorado Rockies. All right. So we'll keep you up to date on Roky Sass, and we'll see how that goes. But let's get to the real update, and that is the prize of the ball. That is Juan Soto. Offers are in. What is it looking like? And we'll give an updated on our preview on where we think he'll go. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos. Joe Fisher to my left. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. We'll get to that. But I guess it wouldn't be a baseball show if we didn't talk about Juan Soto. Is he Japanese? Soto?
No, he is not Japanese. Maybe.
I didn't know.
I want to see the 23andMe.
I did see a potential World Baseball Classic.
1.3% sub-Saharan African.
A World Baseball Classic batting lineup, 1-9 for the Dominican Republic. Julio's on the bench. Okay. That's how. That's how. Ellie De La Cruz is also on the bench. Like, it looks real silly.
Kind of funny.
And they won't win. Somehow Puerto Rico will sneak in, or maybe the Americans.
Probably
the Japanese. They're better than everybody right now.
Is that this
we're
year?
We're in some qualifying right now.
I know, but it's like, it's in 2025, right?
No, I think it's in 2026.
Do they do it every 2 years? I smell pennies.
As we're all like,
yeah, exactly. Click, clickety clackety.
Clickety clackety.
26, yeah. Thursday, March 5th through Tuesday, March 17th.
Of 2026?
Yes, sir.
Lame. Look at you. Getting me all excited for World Baseball Classic now.
I told you, man.
You were saying a couple years ago, like, man, I don't know. How big can it be? And I was like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah,
and now I'm like, when is it? Is it this year?
Joe, I'll talk and type in potential 2025 Dominican Republic starting 1-9.
I'll pull it up. I'll find it.
You go, midnight ain't got nothing on what your pants are about to do. That being said, it's time to kind of check in on the Juan Soto sweepstakes, as it seems that we've narrowed this.
Oh my God.
It seems that we've narrowed this down. Joe, this is a family show. It seems that we've narrowed this down to a few teams. We got the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers.
I'm so shocked.
Shocked, I tell you.
I didn't hear Orioles.
Let me tell you real quick. We'll get a little sneak peek to fair or foul. Fair or foul, the Red Sox have a worse chance of signing Soto than the Blue Jays.
Ooh, I'm going to go foul.
The Red Sox have a worse?
Yeah.
I'm going to say fair.
Yeah.
I think Blue Jays are the leader in the clubhouse.
And you think the Red Sox have a better chance than the Blue Jays?
I do, just because of the history of that organization, and it sounds like that does matter to Juan, but yeah, who knows?
I'm with Joe for simply one reason, that Juan Soto's skin is brown. I said it. I'm not afraid of it.
Hey,
he's not signing in Boston.
That's a fair point there, brother. Fair point.
He's not signing in Boston.
If he signs with Boston, I will be thoroughly disappointed.
I would be insanely shocked. Like, oh, okay. Bye, Juan Soto. It's good to see you.
Like, as far as pure baseball talent
goes. Remember his last years in D.C.? That's what it's going to be like for 10 years and $600 million.
As pure baseball talent goes, he is one of my favorite players at the dish.
He's so great. His eyeballs are amazing.
Yes. But you're dead to me.
You're dead. You're gone.
You go to Boston, dude.
It's not even that I hate Boston. It's just that I'm not going to watch you.
I don't know. Red Sox, if I were to make like a ranking of my least favorite teams in all the sports, they might be number two behind the Eagles. Like, that's how much I'm just done with the Red Sox.
Huskies are at the bottom in similar fashion.
And you're like top five.
Huskies are the number one most hated team.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We're not, that's not changing. The Tigers, they live really high on that list.
I couldn't believe this. I was talking with Boss Cooley and talking about Dodgers and Soto and stuff.
He probably hates the Yankees. Big Red Sox fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Boss man Cooley.
Well, I told him, I was like, I can't believe I actually would rather you guys sign Soto than the Dodgers at this point.
Well, I've seen Soto on the Yankees, and it ain't very good.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And no protection in that lineup.
So that's what it is. We're looking at, I mean, people are talking $600, $700 million. It's talking Soto or Shohei money. I think the difference is Shohei is 10 years. I think Soto will probably get like a 12-year deal, but Shohei money. So not quite Shohei money. But in everything we've heard right now, there are rumors. Meetings with the Yankees have gone really well with the amount of money spent on Blake Snell and potentially Roky Sass and, you know, the trade for Nolan Arenado, et cetera, Teoscar, and all the things going around the Dodgers. Like, they could be out. They might not just be able to have the cards in it. Steve Cohen saying no one will outbid us. The rumor is that the Blue Jays have offered the most money so far. So, because we don't know anything. We don't know S. Like, we're all just shooting blanks here.
Now, I shouldn't say that. I think the Blue Jays are the leader in the clubhouse. I still think it's the Mets. I would say probably Mets. This Blue Jays thing, I think, is just somewhat of a smokescreen to scare the Yankees into...
Remember, we're watching airplanes going to Toronto from L.A. for Shohei. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But are the Blue Jays just the new Giants trying to sign Aaron Judge? So my question to you guys, and Joe, I tend to agree with you, spoiler alert. Right now, who's the leader in this Soto sweepstakes?
I have the Mets winning and the leader right now. Again, I think that Steve Cohen is going to do everything in his power to be like, the Blue Jays are giving him how much? Okay, 50 mil more. They're giving you how many years? All right, how many years do you want?
Like, and do we think Soto is money-based?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes, I think so. I think all of this, I like the team and the tradition.
I want to see clubhouse facilities. You know, and tell me about your minor league system and your development.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it with him at all.
So you say Mets.
Yes.
Schultzy?
I mean, I'm going to go with my previous answer of team prestige here and say
Mariners. Got it. Love it.
Yep, exactly. God, good old bias, my teal green machine. Damn it, I wish. You're just taking me to the unicorn alternate universe that I want to live in. No, I still think it's the Dodgers. I was saying this before the season ended. I do believe, as we're seeing them hand money to Blake Snell, that Tommy Edman contract was insane.
And, so cheap.
And to
14 and a half?
My God, to me, that signaled the overpayment of a Tommy Edman who, yes, he had a great World Series, yeah. and I do...
NLCS MVP?
And I do want to give him his due for that. I just gave Aaron Judge a bunch of crap, $40 million a year player, basically doing really great in the regular season and really crappy in the postseason. So yeah, he should have gotten paid. But that much, what that Dodgers deal signaled to me is that they are willing to do anything and everything. So whatever the Blue Jays are offering, I'm sorry. I think the real Blue, the Dodgers, is going to offer more. It could get to like a $700 million cost for them. They don't care. It'll be what? What was the post-luxury tax deal for Shohei? What was the number? Like 450, 460 that's actually on the Dodgers books right now? I see him in LA, baby. It's going to suck. Baseball's going to basically be watching the Dodgers win it all for years, but he's going to be their right fielder.
I like that when he poo-pooed on Toronto, I heard a sorry.
Sorry, dude. Yeah,
sorry.
Like a little Freudian slip. He was like, sorry, it's going to be the Dodgers. I liked that.
So these are odds as of November 21st. I don't know if they have any more updated, but Yankees still the favorite, minus 110. Mets, plus 150. Red Sox, Dodgers, Blue Jays all tied at plus 300. Come on, Nationals.
The Nationals would be amazing. Would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
that's what we all want.
For the love of God.
For
please.
The love of God, go back to D.C.
But I want a dark horse, someone in... sneaking in the back. My God, that's the Detroit Tigers music.
Texas Rangers. Bochy. Nah. I like how you're like, man.
Yeah, that's lame. They just won a World Series.
I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you 100%. I think the answer is the Mets. I think because they're going to give him the dollar amount he wants. But more importantly, outside of the Dodgers, to Schultz's point, the Dodgers is the best place to win. But as far as everybody else is concerned, the Mets are the best team outside of the Dodgers for him to go to.
Yes.
It's a better fit than the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Mets are better set up to win right now. Depends on what they do free agent pitching-wise, because all the guys, all the old dudes that pitched out of their minds in the playoffs, they're all free agents. So it all going to depend on, you know, Kodai Senga and how he recovers and what the pitchers look like for the Mets. But as far as that offense, I think Pete Alonso is going back to New York. And if you get Pete Alonso and you throw Soto, and now you've got Soto, Alonso, and Lindor, plus, you know, old man Marte at the back of the lineup, or Brandon Nimmo up at the top, and there's some other guys that have been playing really well for them, especially in the postseason, I think the Mets are just the best fit for him. I really do.
I think that just like the Dodgers are desperate to just build up this absolute monster of a team that is going to give them a chance at a World Series every single year and is going to yield multiple World Series for them, I think the Mets are just as desperate to spend and become that team
Dodgers
right
East.
There. And quite frankly,
they're now tied to Walker Buehler.
I just think that the vibes and the appetite from the Yankees to be the Yankees of years of decades past, where it's like, we don't give an F. We're the Yankees. We will give them the biggest contract. Like, it's just, I don't feel like that's what you get from them anymore.
I don't want to be a part of the Yankees. I think that's a bad team.
Who was it? Was it Luis Severino? Like halfway through the year, it's like, yeah, they got two guys that can hit. And it was kind of seen as like, oh, well, that was kind of backhanded. A former Yankee saying that. How dare he? It kind of ended up being true.
But we'll and we'll talk about it next week, the stupid rule that Manfred's floating around the golden at bat. Why? So Aaron Judge can strike out a fifth time in a game? Like, I think the Mets is a better choice. I will stick with the Mets. All right, when we come back, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
But first, we'll send it over to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Ronnie Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultzy, the sixth.
Appreciate you guys. Lots going on in baseball this week. If you're watching football, you're just watching basketball, you're missing a lot. Like,
I'm pretty sure nobody's watching basketball.
I hope not yet.
I'm watching college.
Most people,
nobody's
like,
watching the NBA. Even Brandon Sprague said this morning that he's
really
not watching a ton of NBA.
He's waiting for the W to start back up.
Yeah.
No, most people wait until Christmas Day. I think that's kind of when the season for the NBA starts in their minds, right?
I wait until the second round.
And I know we're up against it, but I had a quick epiphany this weekend watching NFL football, and I've kind of felt this way for a while now. College football is better. The atmosphere, the fan excitement, it is literally like, it's like going to the circus for an NFL game. Everybody's just sitting down, watching the game. Oh, that was a cool play. Sure, some places are better than others, but there are some environments in the NFL over the weekend where I was like, these fans know they're at an NFL game, right? They can be excited and, you know, like stand up, cheer a little bit. I am staunchly on college football, better product than NFL.
Certainly more fun.
I haven't watched NFL religiously in a decade.
I mean, it's obviously college football is more fun to attend in person, especially.
Tune in next week as Joe and I talk about why the NFL is not very fun.
Hey, but still continually makes money and owns 3 days of the week. All right, guys, let's start. We got time for, I think, three questions or so. I don't know if you saw some news this week about a proposed new rule called the Golden At-Bat Rule in Major League Baseball. Commissioner Rob Manfred said, quote, "There is a buzz going around. This is apparently executives in baseball about a Golden At-Bat Rule." This was per Jason Stark of MLB Network. "This rule would allow a team to choose one at-bat in every game to use their best hitter regardless of where they're at in the lineup. So say Yankees facing off against the Doyers and they're down 2-1 in the ninth. Aaron Boone, he's hitting 7th, 8th, 9th point in the lineup. He can put Aaron Judge up there if he wants. You could do that one time." Fair or foul, guys, the Golden At Bat Rule would ruin Major League Baseball as we know it.
What's it called if you strike out 6 times a game?
A double sombrero?
The golden ass.
That's a good one. I like that joke.
Yeah, and then Rob Manfred turned off his Xbox and realized that, like, oh, wait, no, that is not a good idea for real life. That's the dumbest, like, we could go on forever about it, but just stop. Stop. This is, like, Rob Manfred executives, whoever is talking about this, you are embarrassing yourself by talking about this. Yeah. Like, they even think this is an idea. Like, this totally takes away the allure of, one, being a good manager, being a good team, having a lineup 1-9. It takes away those playoff moments of, like, oh, yeah, here's your 7, 8, 9. And, oh, my God, they just won us the game.
Rajai Davis hit a home run off Aroldis Chapman in the 2016 World Series.
And quite frankly, if you were to implement this and it's like, oh, they're using their golden bat roll and here comes Aaron Judge or Shohei and they win it, that's not that cool. Like, that is not nearly as cool as it just coming up in the order and being like, hey, we're at the third batter and it's time for Shohei and he wins it. It's completely manufactured. No, terrible. fire him into the sun. I am now MLB commissioner. I take over.
This can't be real. In the sense, like, we just talked about the NFL. I have to believe that this is a ploy by Manfred and Major League Baseball to get people talking about baseball when it's not going on. This would be... I'm with Joe. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
If he walked into this studio, I'd slap him across the face right now.
Like, this is so asinine that the only reason you're bringing it up is because I heard Dan Patrick, Dirt and Sprague, Primetime with Isaac and Suk, and Jim Rome all talk about this today.
Yep.
And guess what? Baseball in December.
Yeah, but not.
This is the NFL 24-hour news cycle. Like, yeah, nobody thinks it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea, but we're talking about baseball.
Let's yak about it,
right? Let's yak about it. I'm saying names like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. Like, you know, I feel like it's like a Barbara Streisand and Mike Myers on SNL. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about?
You're losing me. It's a little bit too early of SNL for me.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm going to have to look up the skit.
Yeah, Madonna and... Yeah.
I'm going to really go good. On the limb that all of these shows that we're talking about today, not one of them was like, this is a good idea.
No, not one of them. But it got all of them. Whether it's our homeboys, Dirt and Sprague in the morning.
That's not good for baseball.
Or whether it's Dan Patrick, who competes with them at the same time. Both those people talk about the same thing. That's talking about baseball.
I mean,
yeah,
that's the only reason it's brought up. There's absolutely no way this happens.
This is one of those, like, hey, any press is good press. No, this is bad press.
No, this is bad press.
And it hell, and it
we look stupid.
Not, yes, you look terrible.
Although, to be fair, I'd probably rather...
You said you, and I said we.
Hey. I'd rather listen
you're like,
to...
You look stupid, baseball. I'm like, we look stupid, baseball.
I'm not in this.
I'd rather listen to a segment about that than a segment about Aaron Rodgers and how bad the Jets suck, okay?
Hey, future Hall of Fame voter over here. I say we.
All right, guys.
That's my goal in life now.
Fair or foul number two, of course, we are awaiting the decision by the top prize in free agency, Juan Soto. The Dodgers in on the conversation after already making two big free agent signings, both with some deferred money in it. Blake Snell and Tommy Edman, of course, after doing the same with Shohei Ohtani last
Japanese
season.
Japanese hero. Juan Soto.
Excuse me. And who knows? Roki Sasaki could be on their roster as well, guys. Fair or foul, just because of the way the Dodgers are doing this, MLB will eventually stop allowing deferred money on contracts. Fair or foul?
I'll start with this. Fairish? I think there'll be a cap. I think there'll be a cap of a per year or a percentage of the contract. I think baseball was very happy with, like we talked about earlier, like the Bobby Bonilla deals of the world. The Max Scherzer is going to get paid by the Nationals. He hasn't played for the Nationals in three teams.
And frankly, that's good for athletes.
And I think that's fine. Yeah, setting it up for when you're older. Like Max Scherzer's not going to be on TV, okay? Curtis Granderson doesn't make the kind of money that Max Scherzer does, but he's got a TV career. And Curtis Granderson's going to be on TBS talking about baseball for the next 10 years. So he's got income. But guys like Max Scherzer, who is an absolute psychopath, he probably doesn't have a career after baseball. So I'm cool with that deferred money. But when you're talking about 90% of your contract or 90% of your yearly value, when you're talking, you know, $650 million deferred, I do think baseball will step in and not kibosh it. But I think they will adjust it. They'll have to negotiate with the players' union. Because the players' union will tell them absolutely no. But the players' union, I think, will come around and say, yes, let's say 50% can be deferred or 60 or whatever the number is, but it can't be 90.
They're not going to, like, end it or put a cap. If anything, they're going to put a cap on it. They're going to make some rules to where you can only defer so much.
Or so many players.
Yeah. They're going to have some sort of safeguards on it. Because, listen, I'm not upset at the Dodgers taking advantage of it.
I'm not
but
either.
It's also to a point where it's like, all right, how many teams can take advantage of it to this point like they are? And there's only a handful of teams that
it's
can.
It's, so. Like, it's like doing it for Shohei Ohtani, the best player in baseball, and Tommy Taters, who is a potential good player in baseball,
potential.
Is one thing.
Potential.
Potentially.
Keyword.
But to do it with Mookie, Freddie, Roky Sass, Juan Soto, and Max Fried. Like, oh, we got to call it somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to put caps. They're going to do something to reel this in a little bit. You know, good job taking advantage of a loophole and a rule that was in place, and it was perfectly legal, but we're going to reel this in.
I still don't love the Dodgers to win the World Series next year.
I hope it's the Padres. Suck on that,
I'm
LA.
I'm Max Fried and Soto in the Mets, and old Frankie Lindor is the World Series MVP. Called right here.
Speaking of the Mets, all right, guys, we'll go pretty quickly on this last one because we really don't have that much time, but Andy McCullough of The Athletic, he says that a very, very strange and dark horse team is emerging as the top suitor for former Mets first baseman Pete Alonso. That is the Seattle freaking Mariners. I could not believe it when I saw it. Of course, he's trying to get the biggest deal that he can. They're saying that he could command a six-year deal worth $174 million, and Seattle would be that destination. Fair or foul, guys, the story about the Mariners being called top suitors for Pete Alonso is nothing more than a bargaining chip for his agent.
I will say foul. I think Pete is actually a great fit in Seattle.
I agree.
I think Pete Alonso would be a great fit in Seattle. I think the town would really embrace him. I think he would be a giant breath of fresh air, as first base has kind of been lost since John Olerud. You know, Ty France for a minute. I think Seattle would be an amazing fit for Pete Alonso. Now, the only thing that makes this foul is that I don't think Steve Cohen will be outbid. So it would come down to Pete Alonso. Do you want to be a part of that? I think he'd be great in Seattle. I think that ballpark would suit him. He's not a big average hitter. He's a bomb guy. And when you're in Seattle, you got to hit bombs. And if he came to Seattle, he would be the guy. Even though there's Julio, he would be the guy. And if you're in New York and they sign Soto and Walker Buehler or whatever they're trying to do over there, he's third, fourth down the line. It's about ego. I don't think it's a bargaining chip. I think Seattle's a real player on the table for Pete Alonso.
I think so, too. And I think it would be huge. I mean, that is a guaranteed.
It'd be huge for Seattle.
I think for some reason, Pete Alonso gives me vibes where it's like the whole batter's eye and T-Mobile Park. Like, it just wouldn't affect him. The dude mashes. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine if he goes to Seattle and has to play half of his games at T-Mobile Park. So I don't think it is a bargaining chip. And I'm sorry, rephrase or
no,
say that, the
yeah, fair or foul. It is nothing more than a bargaining chip. So you would say foul. It is definitely more than that.
No, definitely. I would say so.
Yeah, I think, and we'll just say this before, you know, when we come back, I got a little things on the Mariners that I will say that relating to Pete Alonso, but we got to get out of here. So we'll be right back. 10 of the Fan. All right, we're getting out on this. Joe and I are losing it over here talking about some Swigart. God, I love that, man. Tune in, Dirt and Sprague. They'll be up in like 12 hours. Actually, 12 minus 3 is 9. They'll be here in 9 hours.
They'll be getting over in 12 hours.
Yeah. They'll be here in 9 hours. Tune into those guys. I love those guys. But I wanted to say something real quick. We were talking in fair foul about Mariners and their chances with Pete Alonso. I think the Mariners really big thing. Now, obviously, there's a ton of it. And we'll talk about the Mariners a ton over the offseason because not only are they local-ish and we got Schultzy over there, but they're a fascinating team. They've got so much assets, but so much needs. Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman, they got to get one of those guys.
I agree.
And if they don't get one of those guys, it's just this year all over again.
I can't watch Alex Bregman in a Mariners uniform.
I understand that, and I'm with you on that. I hate Alex Bregman, but it's Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. Yeah, we can talk about trading Bryce Miller or Wu or Gilbert or Kirby or Castillo or whatever. You need Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. And if you don't get one of those, this is a bust season.
And quite frankly, I say it's got to be Alonso because I think that lineup needs pop.
I think so, too.
Great fielding arm, glove by Bregman and everything. I love it, but
you want the mash.
You need bats.
You need the mash. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. A lot of baseball to get through over the off season, so we'll do all that. Joe Fisher, Patrick Harris, go do something. I would do.